Here in front of your very eyes, Harding Spiels, is the wild man who broke the arm of the black boy. Hey, looky, looky. I grinned back at them, realizing how McMurphy must have felt these months with these faces screaming up at him. All the guys came over and wanted me to tell them everything that had happened. How was he acting up there? What was he doing? Was it true, what was being rumored over at the gym, that they'd been hitting him every day with EST and he was shrugging it off like water, making book with the technicians on how long he could keep his eyes open after the poles touched? I told them all I could, and nobody seemed to think a thing about me all of a sudden talking with people. A guy who'd been considered deaf and dumb as far back as they'd known him, talking, listening, just like anybody. I told them everything that they'd heard was true and tossed in a few stories of my own. They laughed so hard about some of the things he'd said to the nurse that the two vegetables under their wet sheets on the chronic side grinned and snorted along with the laughter, just like they understood. When the nurse herself brought the problem of patient McMurphy up in group the next day, said that for some unusual reason he did not seem to be responding to EST at all and that more drastic means might be required to make contact with him, Harding said, "Now that is possible, Miss Ratched, yes. But from what I hear about your dealings upstairs with McMurphy, he hasn't had any difficulty making contact with you." She was thrown off balance and flustered so bad with everybody in the room laughing at her that she didn't bring it up again. She saw that McMurphy was growing bigger than ever while he was upstairs, where the guys couldn't see the dent she was making on him, growing almost into a legend. A guy out of sight can't be made to look weak, she decided, and started making plans to bring him back down to our ward. She figured the guys could see for themselves then that he could be as vulnerable as the next man. He couldn't continue in his hero role if he was sitting around the day room all the time in a shock stupor. The guys anticipated this, and that as long as he was on the ward for them to see, she would be giving him shock every time he came out of it. So Harding and Scanlon and Fredrickson and I talked over how we could convince him that the best thing for everybody concerned would be his escaping the ward. And by Saturday, when he was brought back to the ward, footworking into the day room like a boxer into a ring, clasping his hands over his head and announcing the champ was back, we had our plan all worked out. We'd wait until dark, set a mattress on fire, and when the firemen came, we'd rush him out the door. It seemed such a fine plan, we couldn't see how he could refuse. But we didn't think about its being the day he'd made a date to have the girl, Candy, sneak onto the ward for Billy. They brought him back to the ward about 10 in the morning. "Full of piss and vinegar, buddies. They checked my plugs and cleaned my points, and I got a glow on like a Model T spark coil. Ever use one of those coils around Halloween time? Zam! Good clean fun."